broken thing. Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well?
Represented our church well. Yeah. They represented their holy father, their heavenly father well. We had several students receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was just so wonderful to see our students who are on fire for Christ, and they literally filled the altars praying for all the other kids that didn't know Jesus. And so through that act, there were several individuals who came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's not our credit. That's credit for our students. But we challenged them before we went. We said, Larry, they keep praying for the Lord to start a fire and use them. And we prayed and we told them, the Word of God says that you seek me. When you seek me, you'll find me. When you seek me with your whole heart. So we challenged them to seek him with their whole heart, and they did that. And again, the words can't describe what took place at the altar, but they did some business with Jesus, and it was just a great, great, great week. So, anything you want to say?
I'm just proud of them. I don't have a voice, and I cheered them. I gave it, I mean, I kept them pumped. We were pumped for the Lord. And at night when we went to service, we gave everything we had. Not that we got the front row every night, but we were there. And our kids were the first one up on the front, and they gave everything they had to the Lord. I never seen it, Marlene. I don't think it played a lot of them, like, really chicken service.
Yeah. And it did. So we've got some, revelation, and several of them spent quite a bit of time at the altar, and they have now realized and recognized and responded to the calling that is on their life. And that's a lot, you know. I mean, we've got anywhere from middle school on up to high schoolers. And I just want to say thank you, because this church supports kids and youth in all areas. And this day and age, that doesn't always happen. And because of the support of our pastors and our church congregation and the church board, we were able to do great things this week for God's kingdom. And I believe the Lord showed up in a mighty way. So thank you very much. We did have the biggest group there. Yes. Yeah, there were several of our children that felt like God calling on their life, and several of them that felt that way, you know, got confirmation of that this week. And there was great words spoken over a couple of them. Again, we could go on for hours, but we're kind of wore out. A little lack of sleep. I think the pews are empty because they're home in bed. They can't get out of bed. This is Mommy and Daddy. He was away from us all week, so he's a little clingy. But I appreciate you. Like, listen, it takes the support of you guys to help us do what we do. I've got a great youth team. I couldn't do it alone. Dave and I are just, we were humbled, and we're grateful. And we just, but thank you, and thank you for supporting the kids, because that's the church. That's the church that, you know, it's the church of today and tomorrow.
That's right.
And so we appreciate it, and we just thank you, and we just give all God all the glory and the honor. It was such a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord.
You got shoved in the water. That was funny.
I'm a little lighter side, the Denver color shirts. We broke up in 8 groups, I guess, and we had different colored shirts. We had competitions and all the activities and everything. And the purple team was definitely, that was our girls, was the best dressed, motivated the whole week. They went by a point system, and I don't know, it just didn't really seem right sometimes, but they should have got first place, but they didn't. They tried their hearts out. But the boys, our yellow team, got first place. Here are the yellow jackets. We had to have a chant. Can I hear it, guys? Yellow jackets, yellow jackets. Come on, guys. Yellow jackets. Sting, sting, sting. So as you can see, I'm kind of worse, too. But the kids had fun and also really got a movement in the spirit at the same time, which is what it's all about.
Thank you.
That's good. All the time. John, would you turn those lights on when you get back up there, brother? Hey, I was gonna have the sound person get ready to mute you on that mic if we needed to, but you're the sound guy.
There was anybody.
Hey, I would gladly do it.
His wife said, "I'll bring it up." Well, what an awesome! It really was an awesome week. I know Friday night, many, if not most, if not all of our students spent about an hour in the altar, if not even a little more than that.
Until the next service.
Good things happen in the altars. When you carve out some time and seek the Lord, and what a cool thing, what a blessing. I would like to share with you this morning. This morning I want to be sharing about hope. This hasn't been a normal, a regular kind of week because of camp. We were there Wednesday through Saturday. As a matter of fact, I prepared another message for today, and I just kept there's something about hope. I kept going back to it. I couldn't get away from it. And so I scrapped the other one. And so we're going to be talking about hope this morning. And as a matter of fact, when I was driving in to church this morning, I said, God, why are we here in hope? What's going on with hope? And I just felt him quicken my spirit. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I was kind of asking, God, who needs this? And he said, like, you do? So I'm preaching to us again today. That's how I always preach. If you feel that I was talking only to you, that was the Holy Spirit, okay? That is not me, because I don't always know I don't always know what's going on in your lives. And I try not to do those types of things. But today, I want to simply remind us, these are things that we know today that I'm going to be mentioning, but it's a good reminder. Because you know what, sometimes we get a little weary from time to time. And today I want this to be a reminder. Mark, forgive me, I couldn't see you where I was standing. I should have had you come up here as well. Mark washed dishes all, I'm sorry, Matthew. Hunter, did I see Hunter?
No,
Hunter's not here. Those two, Matthew and Hunter, washed dishes all week. So that everybody else had clean plates to eat off of and silverware. Appreciate you guys, man. Hit a home run. Matthew said, hit it out of the park. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. The boys also served in the pop stand. So thanks for working, even though they weren't with the students like the others were. Hope. Psalm 143, verse 4. Sometimes hope can kind of be deferred, or it might take longer than we want it to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes what we think that we think that, and sometimes we know we heard from God about something. But when it actually gets there, or by the time it gets there, or it's taking so long that we're like, "But God, you said you're going to do this. Isn't it time yet?" How many know that our timing is not always the same as God's timing? And that's kind of the struggle right there. So today, that's kind of part of this, the main thrust of this message is go ahead and hang on. Continue to maintain hope. Even, and I don't know what God has spoken to you. Or maybe it's something that's just going on in your life, in your family. I'm just speaking to that today. But here in Psalm 143, verse 4, we see here it says, I'm losing all hope. And sometimes we can lose that. And it is draining. And I think that we shouldn't be going there. I'm also saying that it's also normal. But look at what else he says here in this verse. He says, I'm paralyzed with fear. Fear can do that to us. A lack of hope can paralyze us. And when we don't have hope, and when it seems that it's not available and not there, guess what? That's when people give up. And today I'm saying, no, we can't let that happen. Continue to do what you know is right. Continue to seek after God. Continue to push forward, to push on. Don't allow that hope to continue to dwindle. Instead, let's go to the Father and allow Him to breathe life back into us. Amen? And allow Him to take that paralyzation from fear away. And we're going to look now in Psalm 39, verse 7. And it says, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? Where do we put our hope? What is our hope founded in? What is the source of our hope? Well, he goes on to say, my only hope is in you. There's many things that the world provides that we could try to find hope in. But guess what? They are not true hope. Amen. It could be this nice material things, but guess what? That's not hope. It just isn't, because it doesn't satisfy. And they run out, they rust, vehicles, they rust or break down, homes. You have to keep painting them and maintaining them, right? Those things don't provide lasting hope. Success, position, that stuff does not provide lasting hope. So where does it come from? Like the psalmist said, he said, my hope's in you, Lord. My hope's in you. And that's the only place that we can find real and lasting hope. Because he's the only one that has the power to follow through on his word. Isn't that awesome? He can do what he says he's going to do. And if he's already spoken something to your heart, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. Pastor, it's been a long time. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he said it, he's going to do it. Which is why we can look at the Bible and we can stand upon the Bible, because the Bible is his word. And we know that he is going to do what he says in his Bible he's going to do. But also those things that he speaks to your heart, he's going to do. So maintain hope. Shake the dirt off. Maintain hope, right? Psalm 65 and verse 5. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds. God ever answered anybody's prayer? Yeah. I'm sure most of us can raise our hand and say, yeah, God's answered my prayer. Or a prayer. Maybe not every prayer. You know why he hasn't answered every prayer?
It's not the right time.
Because he's not a genie in the bottle. Is he? He's God. And the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes we try to tell God what to do instead of praying and asking for his will. Our prayers need to be submitted to his will, right? And sometimes we're like, God, you need to do. And he's like, you're not the boss of me still. And turn my mic up. Maybe it's not on.
Huh? Amen.
Doesn't count. If I have to ask for it, it does not count.
Come on.
You faithfully answer our prayers. Look at the next part of that. With awesome deeds. Answers with awesome deeds. God has a strong arm. He is powerful.
Yes, sir. Most powerful.
There's none like him. He can do anything. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God can do more than we could ever ask or imagine that he can do.
Amen.
Don't you think that you can imagine some pretty big things?
Amen.
He can do more than that. The biggest, wildest, craziest dream or thing that you can think of, God can do more than that.
Amen.
Well, look, he made the whole everything in 6 days. He made it all. The universe, not just the galaxy, he made it all. And they say that the universe is expanding. Isn't that interesting? You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds. Oh God, our Savior. God is our Savior. This is Old Testament right here. And it's interesting that he mentions God being the Savior. But he goes on, he says, you are the hope of everyone on earth. God, you are the hope of everyone on earth. And that's why we want to encourage people to worship Jesus. Because he is God's Son. We want to point them his direction, right? Because we know that hope comes from him. Do you know that every other religions, not Christianity, we're not the only ones who say that our way is right?
Sure.
So my point is, people get mad at Christians for saying that, how can you say that your way is right? Well, others do it too. Are you mad at them? I say that we're right because we have a Bible that's been preserved for at least or nearly 2,000 years, the Old Testament longer than that, and lives that are transformed,
yeah.
Miracles that happen week after week, year after year.
Yeah.
We have a Savior that was in a grave and now is sitting in heaven.
Yes.
Nobody else can say that. Muhammad can't say that. Buddha can't say that. Confucius can't say that. Because they're not God. Jesus defeated death. He proved by that thing that kind of we hear it so much, it doesn't have the weightiness that it really should have. He defeated death. He conquered it. He went to battle. He went to war against death and he won. Because he's God. He's the only one that could have done it.
Amen.
Not all of us combined couldn't have done that. Nope. With our power, with our strength, with our ingenuity that we got from God, none of we couldn't have done all that. Only Jesus,
yep.
Who's God. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
He's the hope of everyone on earth. Even those who sail on distant seas. He is the hope of everybody. Say everybody.
Everybody.
All right, now I know you're listening. Praise God. He answers our prayers with awesome deeds because he's not weak. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's not like, hey, why do you keep bothering me? Anybody ever feel like you're bothering God with a little prayer?
Nope.
I don't think you're bothering him. I think he's like, oh yeah, come on.
Yep.
Come on. And one of these days, one of your prayers is going to line up and I'm going to bless you for sure. Line up with his will.
Amen.
You know, I always talk about the praying for a Ferrari. Dear God, won't you give me that Ferrari? I need it real bad so I can minister to Warsaw. God's not going to answer that prayer. I don't need a Ferrari. I like a truck. Do you understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
He hears you when you pray. Sometimes our prayers just don't line up and he can't say yes.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I think, John, I think you mentioned, sometimes it's, you got to wait for that.
Yeah.
You're not ready yet. You're just not quite ready. Or circumstances aren't ready around you. It's not to beat you down. Just say, hey, okay, well, then we're going to do that. We just got to get there. When you're little kids, you walk before you crawl before you walk, and then you walk before you what? Before you run. Makes sense, doesn't it? And it's kind of the same in living for Christ. So, he is the hope of everyone. Praise God. Titus chapter 2. No, I skipped one. Romans 15, verse 13. Paul, he kind of gives us a glimpse of a prayer that he was praying for these folks. He says, I pray that God, look at this, the source of hope. Where's hope come from? Why? Because he's the only one that's powerful enough. He's the one that we go to, and he gives us hope. How can he give all of us hope at the same time? Because he's God. I pray that God, the source of hope, I pray that God will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him or you hope in him. Anybody trust in the Lord?
Amen.
Okay, but let me also ask another question. Anybody maybe not as full of joy or peace as you should be right now? Paul wrote, said, I pray that God will fill you completely. That would be all the way to the top, wouldn't you think? And even beyond that, we're going to see in a second, that God will fill you all the way up with peace and with joy because you trust in him. Guess what? He's the only place the best stuff comes from anyway. He's the source of all of it. He's the source of all of it. Look, then you will overflow. There we go. He fills us up completely, but then beyond completely to where it's spilling out on somebody else.
Amen.
Isn't that great? I want to live in the overflow. Sometimes I don't. That's kind of my goal. I'm shooting for it. To live in the overflow. To where that joy and that peace, love, spills out off from me and my relationship with Jesus onto other people. And they're like, man, I like being around that guy instead of Man, I don't like being around him. He's a jerk sometimes. Sorry. True confessions of a pastor. Then you will overflow, look at this, with confident hope. Confident hope. Strong hope. Not little bitty tiny hope. Confident hope. Confident hope, that hope that says, it doesn't matter what you say. My God said it. He is able and He's going to do it. Right? That's confident hope. It's a hope that says, I'm not backing down because I know my God's got my back. I'm not giving in. I'm not settling. I'm going with what He wants for me. That's what confident hope is. Can I relate that in a personal story? I was waiting on God to bring a wife. Bring me that one right there, Emily. And I had people telling me, you need to date around. I said, I don't need to date around. I want more of Jesus, and someday I want a wife. I hope it'll be sooner than later, but I want a wife someday. I waited. I had a confident hope. He's going to provide for me a wonderful wife. And He did. And I'm so thankful. On the 18th, we celebrated, I think it's 19 years, so we're so thrilled to do life and ministry with my sweetheart. And I believe God that He was going to provide. Amen. I believe God. I trusted Him with that. My hope was in that He was going to do that on my behalf for me. I believe you can do the same. If you're a single person, or if you're believing God for something else, I think that it's okay. I mean, the proverb says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Amen.
Amen.
Man, that was your chance. You missed it. Do I got to teach you everything? Overflow. We need some peace, joy, hope. Is what He. He's our source of hope. We're going to turn now to Titus chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And we are instructed. Paul is writing to a young minister named Titus. And so he's giving him instruction here and direction in ministry and life. He says, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. Yeah, we should be saying goodbye to that stuff, right? We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. He continues in the next verse. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope. We've got to live in this world. It's an evil world, you know. And we see that really, it's been very apparent in the last year or better. Been very apparent, wrong things that are going on all over the place. I'm just going to speak for a moment. This equality thing is not from God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Equality is from God. This Equality Act is not.
Amen.
Not trying to be political. Everybody is loved and created by God. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to get out all prejudices and love people.
Yep.
Period.
Amen.
Not any of them deserve more love than anybody else.
Amen.
Because of this preference or this color or that color or whatever. And the gender, this whole gender thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess and it's a joke.
It is not a joke.
It's rebellion. It's witchcraft.
Amen. Evil.
It is not from God.
Amen.
Moms,
Amen.
Dads, start praying a little bit more if you're confused. Don't be confused. Find the truth in the Word of God. Get back to reality and stop living in a fantasy of some sort of dream, which I wouldn't even understand whose dream it is except for Satan's. Pay attention, moms and dads. Don't let your little boys become girls, and don't let your little girls become boys.
Amen.
Did I just say all that out loud?
Yes.
Because God created him to be a little boy or a little girl. Not both. But he did that with a purpose in mind, because God has a plan for each and every person. I personally find hope in that. You'll mess the whole purpose and plan up. Oh, maybe that's the design of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
Start seeing with spiritual eyes. Hearing with spiritual ears. What are you talking about? Look, read Revelation. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. He who has ears, let him hear. When we spiritual ears aren't these, but this is what we understand. When I do this, you understand what I'm saying. Listen, right? We listen to what the Spirit has to say. And if you got a bad vibe about something, just walk away. Turn around and go. Or stop it. Stop whatever is about to happen. You might be to get the answer to somebody else's prayer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, whoa, no, you can't do that to them. Back away. You might have just been a godsend. Pay attention to stuff like that. You get a check in your spirit, God, what's going on? I don't know why I'm right there today. Somebody needs it. So, we're talking about the hope of the world. We look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. See, we have hope here. But we also have, and hope in our individual situations, and in many of those situations are very unique, but a lot of times there's a lot of similarity with something somebody else has gone through, and we can glean from each other, you know? We can, we look through the Bible, and we learn and we glean from Old Testament examples or New Testament examples of how God works with man, or how we ought to respond to him. We learn from those types of things. And that is beneficial for us. We want to, we have hope here in this life, hope in God helping us through and walk this life. But guess what? There's another hope that is totally related. But it's one of these days we're not going to be here living in sin. We're not going to be living in this old world like we are. Sin's going to be done away with. There won't be any more tears, no more pain. That's exciting, isn't it? Is that where your hope is today? Is your hope in Jesus? Because it ought to be. I'm going to invite my wife to the piano or keyboard. We're going to take communion here in a moment. I'm going to need some help, gentlemen.
We've got it covered.
Okay, I'll let you know when we're ready. My wife's going to play. I don't know who this message was for, or if it was just for me. I preach just for me, yeah. But I kind of doubt it. Sometimes we can kind of lose sight of that hope. We can kind of lose sight of something God has spoken to our heart, or something we've been praying about. God is more than able. He's someone worthy to put our hope in. No one else on earth is. But he is.
Amen.
He's more than enough. And I'm grateful for that. So I don't know who this message was for. Can I just ask you about your hearts? If you're here this morning and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your Savior, but today you're saying, I want to do that. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to get right with God. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I understand that he died on the cross for my sins. And today I place my faith and hope in him. Is there anyone here who would raise your hand and say, that's me? I've never done that before, but today I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Just slip up your hand so that I can see you. Okay, maybe you're here and you're saying, yeah, my hope has been dwindling. My hope is, it's just been deferred so long, it's just been kind of dwindling, and it's hard to have that hope and that peace and that joy. because it feels like, it almost feels that God's forgotten me. This message was for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Okay, yeah. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this message about hope. Because God, you are greater than we could ever even begin to give you credit for. You're greater than all that. Now, Lord, as we focus on you in this moment, in these next few moments, show us how great you are. Show us today, God, that it's good for us to place our hope in you. And we can put that hope back into you because you're more than able. You're more than capable. You know exactly what's going on. You know the number of hairs on our head. You're with us. You're for us and not against us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just show them your might and your power. That you would even speak to that situation. Confirm it again. Confirm it. Confirm it today, Holy Spirit. Something you spoke before. We lost sight of it. God, you have good plans for your people. And I ask you today to fill them with peace, and to fill them with joy, and to fill them with confident hope. God, so that it'll overflow onto other people because you're filling them with who you are. God, move in this place. Move in these situations. And I give you the praise. I thank you, God. I ask you in Jesus' name to move these mountains. God, we give you the praise. We give you the credit for it today. So grateful. Lord, restore hope today. Let hope be restored. You're not slow in keeping your promises. It's by grace. It's grace. Lord, we thank you so much. Show them how great you are today, God. Show them how great. Show us how great you really are. We honor you in this place, O God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The gentlemen are going to come forward. We're going to spend some time in communion this morning. The way that this works, if you're new to our church, you don't have to be a member here. What you do need to have is a relationship with Jesus. Really, that's the only stipulation to communion, otherwise called the Lord's Supper. This is a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful reminder. These gentlemen are going to pass out the bread first, which is more like a cracker. Juice and the cracker, you're just going to hang on to. We're going to kind of do all that together. As they're passing that out, I just encourage you to consider the sacrifice Christ made for us, and to give him praise for it. Because it's a really powerful thing.
Is drowned in storm. What?
you, buddy. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, others. You know, Scripture says that we ought to examine ourselves before we partake of this wonderful ordinance. Because if we don't, we're not truly in Christ, then we've just brought judgment upon ourselves. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like any fun. So we just consider, we're reminded this is an exercise in memory to just simply recall what Christ has done for us. And he's done a tremendous amount. We take the cracker, which symbolizes his body. I don't believe it becomes his body. I believe it just is there as a way to remind us of his body. What did he say? He told those that were listening to him one day, he said, "I'm the bread of heaven." That's pretty cool. He's the bread of heaven. And today, we're going to partake of this little cracker, which represents the body of Christ. And what it does as well to recall what he went through, what he experienced in his body. But it should have been us. It should have been you and me. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on that night that he was betrayed, on that night of his Last Supper, he took bread, got that cracker. I like to raise it up because I like to lift Jesus up. He gave thanks, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Wow. That night, Jesus established a whole new covenant between God and man. That we no longer had to fulfill the law like they did before. Jesus came and fulfilled it. Jesus was that sacrificial lamb and our high priest. Wow. This new cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the juice. I love this next verse. You see, "For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that is important because we want others to know that Jesus died in their place. We want others to know that, well, we talked about a while ago, not only did he die, but he was raised to life. He was resurrected. Death couldn't hold him. All of that is important, and I think it means he's worthy of praise. Anybody else?
Here in the blood of Christ, I stand.
Yes, hallelujah. power of Christ we stand today and our hope in Him. I haven't seen Jesus. There is no way you can make me think that He doesn't exist. No chance. I'll need a moment for it. He's done so much. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of these individuals and families. Holy Spirit, would you move in their hearts? Would you restore faith where that faith had dwindled? Or maybe it just dwindled in one area of a promise or something you had spoken to them. Restore it today, God. Lord, would you move? Would you move in each life, in their circumstances? Move in their family, move in their home, move at the job. God, I give you praise. And I ask you to rise up within each one of us and help us to serve you, to follow you. We give you all the praise, God, and we give you all the credit. You are so faithful and so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us today. We have service tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday nights at 6:30.